Hi there, Greg Van Beek. This is Nancy O'Dell, and I wanted to say congratulations on 500 episodes of Nostalgia Radio Time. That is awesome. And you're also celebrating 10 years. I mean, that's quite the anniversary. Very impressive, Greg. I love me some oldies but goodies.
Once I had a secret love. Ha, I'm Lori Morgan, and if you love pop standards as much as I do, you'll want to tune in each week to Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Go, Joe, go!
Hi everyone, this is Katie Couric, and I want to welcome you to one of my favorite programs, Nostalgia Radio Time, hosted by my friend Greg Van Beek.
Thank you very kindly, Katie, and welcome to program number 604 of Nostalgia Radio Time. This week we've got some great songs lined up for you. Let's begin with Jimmy Dorsey and the Orchestra from 1941 with Bob Eberly and Helen O'Connell to sing Tangerine.
Senorita stare and cavaliera sigh, and I've seen toasts to tangerine raised in every bar across the Argentine. Yes, she has them all on the run, but her heart belongs to just one. Her heart belongs to Tangerine.
One girl, she's only fooling Tangerine.
Helen O'Connell and Bob Eberly's smash hit from 1941 with the Jimmy Dorsey Orchestra, Tangerine. If you have any songs you'd like me to play or old-time radio shows you like featured, send your request to nostalgiaradiotime@yahoo.com. And be sure to check us out on our social media outlets on Facebook and Twitter. And if you happen to be looking for an antique radio, one that's fully restored and functional, now many with Bluetooth capability, check out my website at www.radioattic.com/Van Beek. I've got some great sets available for you there. Next up, we've got Shep Fields and his Rippling Rhythm going back to 1938. and the then new Bob Hope theme song, Thanks for the Memory.
And moments on the Hudson River line, how lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of rainy afternoons, swingy Harlem tunes, and motor trips, and burning lips, and burning toast and prunes. How lovely it was. Many's the time that we feasted, and many's the time that we fasted. Oh, well, it was swell while it lasted. We did have fun and no harm done. And thanks for the memory of sunburns at the shore, nights in Singapore. You might have been a headache, but you never were a bore. So thank you so much.
Chestnuts in blossom, April in Paris. I never knew the charm of spring, never met it face to face. I never knew my heart could sing, never missed a warm embrace till April in Paris. Whom can I run to? What have you done to my
in blossom. Holiday tables under the tree. April in Paris. This is the feeling. No one can ever do it all over again one more time.
In 1968, it was Count Basie and the Mills Brothers joining forces for April in Paris. Now we go back to 1948, 20 years earlier, for Woody Herman's orchestra, and he's performing Early Autumn.
Never dreamed did you any fall could come in view. So darling, if you care, please let me know I'll meet you anywhere. I miss you so, let's never have to share another early autumn.
To their moms about the lady from 29 Palms. She got 29 Cadillacs, 29 sables from Saks. They came from 29 fellas who never had their arms around the lady from 29 Palms. She's a yip, yip, yippee-eyed dolly, a new kind of gal of the West. And yip, yip, yippee, by golly, whatever she does her best. She rides 29 trails to bliss, knows 29 ways how to kiss. She is a gal that you dream of. You'd love to have your arms around the lady from 29 Palms. She left 29 broken hearts, baby. Broken in 29 parts with their broken hearts. Order 29 fellas complaining to their moms about the lady from 29 Palms. She got 29 Cadillacs, baby. 29 tables from Saks and their Cadillacs. Order 29 fellas who never had their around the lady from 29 Palms. She's a yippity, 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 I, oh, what a dolly, a bronco that no one can break. And yippity, 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 I, oh, by golly, she's never giving, but how she takes. She's got 29 diamond rings, got 'em without any strings. A dynamite dreamboat, a load of atom bombs, the lady from 29 Palms. The lady from 29 Palms.
Going back to 1947, that was the Andrews Sisters with the lady from 29 Palms. Now from the 1950s, here's a recording by Rudy Vallee of a song he made popular in 1935, Sweet Music.
Sing a song in spring, and yet if I forget it, by December, will you remember? Sweet music makes the same old story new again. I bring to you again my spring, and yet, if I forget it by December, will you remember? Sweet music makes the same old story new again. I bring to you again.
Just to shine one shoe, he makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. You ought to see him fan the air with his hoppity hibbity hibbity hoppity hoppity hibbity hop. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. Listen, let him go. Don't that tickle you? It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air. Here goes. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops the boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy.
Red Foley from 1950 and the Chattanooga Shoeshine Boy. It's Bing Crosby time, our Bing Sings feature for the week, and Bing is joined by his son Gary from 1953 with the Corn Belt Symphony.
They all go taroo-ta-toot-ta-toot-ta-toot, taroo-ta-toot-ta-toot-ta-toot. You'll hear a beat that is new, dancing to the Corn Belt Symphony. They all go ta-ra-ta-ta-ta-ta, ta-ra-ta-ta-ta-ta, ta-ra-ta-ta-ta.
Oh, it's so cozy.
Why, even Mama and Pa love to sing the Corn Belt Symphony.
They get a solid kick from a corny lick that goes, hey, swing your partner,
And when the fiddles bow, you can really go with a do-si-do-si-do. I know it's corny, but gee, how you love the Corn Belt Symphony. They all go
sounds cool to me. I agree.
You'll hear a beat that is new.
No, you'll all love
dancing to the Corn Bell Symphony.
They all go to why, even Mama and Pa,
I know you'll all love to sing the Corn Belt Symphony. They get a solid kick from a corny lick that goes, hey, swing your partner. And when the fiddles bow, you can really go with a do-si-do-si-do.
Harmony.
I know it's corny, but gee, how you love the Corn Belt Symphony.
They get a solid kick from a corny lick that goes, hey, swing your partner.
And when the fiddles bow, you can really go with an allemand left and a do-si-do-si-do. Taroo-ta-doo-ta-doo-doo, taroo-ta-doo-ta-doo-doo,
I know it's corny, but gee, how you love the Corn Belt Symphony.
How you love the Corn Belt Symphony.
Time now for Old Time Radio Time. It's here in the show where we give a listen to a complete radio broadcast from radio's golden age. This week we're going back to May 1st, 1948 and tuning into The Life of Riley, starring William Bendix.
Frell brings you The Life of Riley. Frell, the shampoo that removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes and leaves hair radiantly clean, radiantly lovely, presents The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. Being an average boy, Junior Riley suffers most when his faith in his father is shaken. And once in a while, Chester A. Riley shakes Junior's faith. Not on purpose, of course, but then does poor Riley ever do anything on purpose? For instance, the other day, Riley and his wife were in their living room when Junior came in.
Oh, say, Mom.
What is it, Junior?
Did you see my baseball anywhere?
Yes, it's over on the piano, and I wish you'd stop leaving your things all over the house.
Oh, I'm sorry, it won't happen.
Your mother's right, Junior. You've got to learn to be neat. A place for everything and everything in its place.
Well, I don't see the ball.
It's on top of the piano, right behind my shoes.
And while we're on the subject, Riley, just what are your shoes doing on the piano? You scold Junior about being neat, and
now,
then you leave
your... Now, wait a minute, Peg. I got a good reason why my shoes are on the piano. Last night, when I went to the poker game, you said to be home by 12, but I didn't get home until after 2. So I took off my... Peg, why are you picking on poor Junior? Junior, get out of here with that ball already.
I'm gone. Gee, I'm glad I found it. I thought I was lost. Now I can get that uniform.
Uniform for what?
A real baseball uniform. I got 15 bucks saved, and I'm selling the ball for 5 bucks. That'll do it.
5 bucks? But the ball only cost you a quarter.
Yeah, I know. I make $4.75.
Hey, that's terrific. Almost 100% profit. Why, if he keeps making that kind of money, you know what he's liable to wind up?
Mm-hmm, a used car dealer. Junior, how can you possibly sell that ball for so much money?
Well, Harold's willing to pay.
Yeah, who's this sucker, Harold?
Oh, some kid at school. He's got plenty of moolah. Hey, he wants it on account of its autograph. Look.
Leo DeRocher. Well, hey, it's worth more than 5 bucks if it's signed by Leo De... Wait a minute. When did DeRocher sign this ball?
Oh, he didn't, but Harold can't tell the difference.
What? You mean to tell me you... Well, that's the crookedest thing I ever heard of.
Yeah, but, Pa,
your father's right. That's out-and-out dishonesty. I'm surprised at you, Junior.
Oh, well, gee, I just
can't believe it. My own wife's son.
Now he's my son.
Is this the way I brought you up, to forge signatures?
But, Pop, you forged it.
What?
Nah, Junior Riley, don't you try to squirm out of it by blaming your own father.
Peg.
But he did ask him.
I don't have to ask him. I just know your father doesn't forge signatures. Why, I bet anything.
What odds will you give me?
Chester Riley, you mean to say that you...
Well, I just did it for a joke. I forgot all about it.
You see, I told you Pop did it.
Well, never mind who did it. That ain't the point. The point is you tried to take advantage of some poor kid.
Oh, he's a rich kid. His father's a banker.
That's no reason to rook him. I don't care if his father has $1 million. This is a democracy, see, where everybody's equal. Take away this guy's $1 million and he's a bum like I am.
All right, Riley, that's enough. I'm sure Junior realizes he was wrong.
Well, he better.
Well, I'm sorry. I just wanted to buy that uniform.
Now, you don't have to pull nothing crooked. If you need a uniform, you can come to me and ask me for it.
Oh, okay, then. Will you give me the $5, please?
All right, I got it right. That's funny. I thought I had some in... I'm a little short of cash right now. I'll give you a check later. I haven't got my checkbook with me.
But you haven't got a checking account.
I'll give you the cash later. I left it in my other suit.
You haven't got another suit.
Yeah, well, you know, this signature looks like the real thing.
Riley?
Okay, I'll get him a uniform.
Oh, that's swell of you. Say, will you get me one that has a number on the back?
Now, look, son, if I was you, I wouldn't be so choosy. With your ideas, you'll be lucky if you don't wind up with a number on your chest. Well, Peg, what do you think of it? It's a nifty little uniform, huh?
Well, it doesn't look very new.
Well, there's a reason. It's secondhand.
Oh, secondhand?
Well, a new one's $20. It was a lucky break I found this in Sullivan's secondhand shop. He had a whole bunch of them there.
Oh, Junior will be disappointed when he finds out it's secondhand.
No, he won't. You see, I'll tell him this is the same uniform I used when I was a kid. And I happened to run across it in the attic.
What good'll that do?
Why, for years I've been telling him what a great ball player I was. He'll be proud to wear this uniform.
You were a great ball player?
Well, sure. I remember one game in high school I made 5 home runs.
You mean you struck out 5 times?
Don't tell me. I was the batter.
Don't tell me. I was the pitcher. Some ball player.
Well, Junior don't have to know that. The main thing is he liked this uniform.
And suppose he doesn't believe you found it in the attic.
He'll believe me. I'll sprinkle a little dust on it. You got any dust in the house?
Oh, honest, Riley, you sometimes...
Oh, Mom.
Oh, there's Junior. Now, let me handle this my way.
Say, Mom, is Pop... Pop, you got my uniform.
Yes, sir. Ain't it nifty,
oh,
huh?
Oh, thanks. I'm going to try it on. Hey, Pop, this uniform is new.
Well, it's better than new. It's got a history. Son, this is the same suit I wore when I was your age. First baseman for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
When you were 13 years old?
I mean, the baby Dodgers in the juvenile league. First baseman.
Oh, well, gee, I never knew you were on a regular team with a uniform and everything.
Oh, sure. I played hundreds of games with them. Oh, if this uniform could only talk, what stories it could tell.
You're doing all right by yourself.
You should have seen me at bat. I used to murder that ball. Killer Riley, they called me.
Gee, Killer Riley. Oh, you must have been good.
Well, if you pin me down, yes. Why, once Babe Ruth saw me play. Kitty said, keep it up and someday you'll be one of the biggest. That's what he said, one of the biggest.
You're one of the biggest, all right.
Yeah, you see, even your mother says so. Well, Junior, would you like to wear this uniform?
Would I? I bet it's a lucky uniform.
I only hope you'll be worthy of wearing this uniform in which I rose to such great heights.
Riley, will you please put out the garbage?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, say one thing, Pop.
Huh?
If you were so good, how come you never made the big league?
Big League?
Yeah.
Well,
how come, Pa?
Well,
yes, dear. I'd like to hear the answer to that one, too.
You would. Well, you see, it was my mother. I had lots of offers, but my mother kept saying, first finish school. First finish school.
Yeah.
And by the time I finished school, I was too old.
Come on, let's play ball already.
Oh, hold your horses, Bert. Hey, gee, that's a swell uniform, Junior.
Boy, you got all the luck. I wish my father had been a ball player.
Come on, let's play.
Oh, my father was tops. They used to call him Killer Riley. Why, he went out of the park every time. You know, once Babe Ruth saw him play and he said, boy, he's big league material.
No kidding.
Ah, you're full of hot air, Junior.
Oh, yeah? Well, I got this uniform to prove it, haven't I? And my father doesn't tell lies.
I still think it's a phony. And I think your old man's a phony, too.
Will you take that back or I'll sock you
one? Okay, okay. I take it back. Have it your own way.
My father's on the level. Come on, let's play ball.
Hey, Junior, what's that tag on the inside of your sleeve?
Huh? What tag? Will you let go? Let go? What do you think you're doing?
Ah, stand still. Will you
let go? You're going to tear it.
Ah, so your old man wore this suit when he was a kid?
Sure he did.
You sure?
Sure, I'm sure.
And they called him Killer Riley.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, no wonder. Hey, look, fellas. Look what it says here on this little tag. This uniform, property of the state reformatory for juvenile delinquents. Ah, your father's a jailbird.
Is that you, Junior?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, you're wearing my baseball uniform. Oh, you look great, son.
Pop, was this really the uniform you wore when you were a kid?
Why, what makes you ask
that, Junior?
You know,
please tell me the truth. It's important.
It is? Well, of course it's my suit.
Okay.
But it's yours now, and I hope you had the same luck I did when I was a kid.
Thanks.
Oh, seeing you in that suit takes me back 25 years. I remember the first time I put it on. I was the proudest kid you ever saw.
What, you were proud?
Yes, sir. And when I stepped out on that field, they watched every move I made.
I'll bet they did.
Killer Riley, they called me. What a slugger I was.
Yeah, I know. You told me.
Yeah, not only hitting. My real specialty was stealing. Like, I stole more in 1 year than any kid on the whole team.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Nobody had a record like I had. I remember the time. Hey, where are you going, son?
To my room.
Oh, sure. I guess you want to rest up for the big game tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's umpiring the game, Junior?
Well, we don't know yet.
Yeah, well, how about me? I'm not busy.
Well, no, Pop. Please, the fellas, well, there'd be trouble.
Oh, no, it's no trouble at all. I'll be glad to do
it. Oh, but Pop,
Not another word, Junior. It'll be fun. I haven't been on a baseball diamond since I was a boy. It'll be just like old times. Only this time I'll be on the outside looking in.
But, Pop. Pop, you... Oh, excuse me. I got something to do.
Yeah, all right, sir. Ah, what a wonderful son. He's so proud of me, he's crying for joy. Hey, Junior. Junior, here I am.
Pop, you came.
Well, sure, I told you I'm going to umpire. I've been hunting all over for you. You said you'd be on the North Diamond. What are you doing away over here on the South Diamond?
Well, you see...
Oh, it don't matter. I found you. Where's your team, Junior?
It's over there.
Well, wait a minute. Why aren't you wearing a uniform?
Well, none of the other kids have one, so
hey,
I didn't want to...
what are we going to do? We can't find anybody to umpire.
Well, Junior, didn't you tell him I'm going to umpire?
Well, swell, mister. Who's this guy, Junior?
My father.
Oh.
Hey, fellas, I can't get anybody to umpire. I've been all over
We've got an umpire.
Well, swell. Who?
Junior's father here.
Oh.
Hey,
Hey, what's all the things up?
Oh, we got an umpire.
Yes, honey, I'm going to umpire.
Swell, I'm Bert Simpson.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Riley, Junior's father.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter? Why are you all staring at me for? Oh, I see. I got my coat buttoned wrong. Well, come on, play ball.
Okay, fellas, let's play. But I'm playing this game with my wristwatch on. I'm not letting the umpire hold it.
You cut it out, Bert.
That Bert's a great kid. Well, let's play ball. And I remember you kids, don't try to pull anything because I'm on to every crooked trick there is.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, you can say that again. Play ball.
Come on, Bert, we need this run. Knock one over the fence.
Steve, right two.
What? What's the matter? You're blind. That was a mile wide.
Ah, that was a strike. Three and two. Play ball.
Yes.
Oh, come on, Bert. Make this one count.
Knock it out of the park. Attaboy, Bert. He walked you.
Strike three. You're out.
What? That was way inside.
I curved over the plate. You're out.
Where did you learn how to umpire? In reform school?
That's enough out of you now. Get back to the bench.
Cut it out, Bert.
I knew we shouldn't have let that jailbird umpire.
Who are you calling a jailbird?
Yeah, everybody knows you went to reform school.
What?
Everybody knows.
Oh, lay off, Bert. Mr. Riley's okay.
Thanks, Eddie.
What if he did go to reform school? Lots of ex-cons go straight.
Sure, lots of ex-cons go straight. Wait, who's an ex-con?
Junior, what are you standing there for? You heard what he said about me. Tell him he's lying. Well, go on, tell him.
Now, Pop, don't make any trouble.
Don't make any trouble? But he called me a jailbird. He said I went to reform school. Tell him it ain't true. Tomorrow he'll be saying I got hung.
Pop, go on home. Forget it.
I won't forget it. I won't stand for it.
Come on, fellas. Let's go. This game's over.
No, wait, fellas. Come back. Let me explain. How can you think I went to reform school? I can prove I didn't. I never even took the entrance exam. What a revolting development this is.
Second act of The Life of Riley in a moment. It's an all-family favorite. It's Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Mother says,
I could hardly believe the difference in my hair after I use Prel. Prel leaves hair so soft and smooth, radiantly lovely.
Dad says,
Say, Prel really goes after unsightly dandruff quickly. Leaves a man's hair with that clean, well-groomed look.
Yes, even Sonny says,
That Prel tube sure on the beam. No waste or spill. Prel's fun to use.
Yes, families everywhere agree on Prel. First, because Prel leaves hair more radiant than any soap shampoo. It can't leave a dulling soap film. Prel leaves hair soft, smooth, easy to manage. Second, doctor's examinations prove that Prel removes unsightly dandruff in as little as 3 minutes, and that regular Prel shampoos control it. And Prel goes farther than any known shampoo, cream, or liquid. Try
P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo.
And now back to The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
Riley, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you, reform school. Junior thinks I went to reform school. That's what they all think.
Oh, but that's impossible.
Don't tell me. I heard them. They all stood around calling me names. Jailbird, ex-con. And Junior, he didn't even open his mouth. He just stood there agreeing with them. Fine son he turned out to be.
Oh, now wait, Riley, relax.
How can I relax? This is all your fault, Peg.
My fault?
This is what happens when you disobey me.
Disobey you?
Yes. When you told me you were going to have a baby, I ordered you to have a girl. But you had to have it your way. Boy, am I glad now that I never paid the doctor. It serves him right for giving me a son that thinks I'm a crook.
Oh, stop it, Riley. You're getting hysterical.
I'm through with that kid for good.
I go and spend my last $5 I got to my name for a uniform. I'm cutting him out of my will.
Oh, no. Calm down, Riley. Let's talk about this sensibly.
I don't want to talk sensibly.
Well, there must be some explanation. When Junior gets home, we can find out what it's all about. Where is he?
I don't know, and I don't care. Left me there all alone. Went off without saying a word. After all I'd done for that boy. When times were tough, we didn't have nothing to eat in the house. But Junior got his bottle of milk every day.
I know, dear.
That was no cinch for me, getting that milk. 3 times the milkman almost caught me. Now he has the nerve to think I could be a crook. Actually, oh, what's the use?
Wait a minute, where are you going?
I'm going out.
But Junior will be home soon, and I think you...
I don't care. I'm hereby resigning as his father. And to make it legal, I'm taking his birth certificate and marking it null and void. Oh, what a mess. I never thought Junior would do this to me. You can't trust nobody. Everybody lets you down.
I'll never let you down. Unless it's necessary.
Who's that?
It is I, Digby O'Dell, the friendly undertaker. Going my way.
Oh, I'm just walking, Digger. I'm trying to forget what my own son did to me.
Ah, yes. Boys can be a problem. Yesterday, a gang of hoodlums pilfered a sign from that big laundry across the street and hung it on the door of my business establishment. Oh, I was furious.
Why? What did the sign say?
If we are closed, drop your bundle down the chute.
Yeah, kids can be awful. Junior humiliated me in front of all his friends.
Oh, my son Mossbank humiliated me once. The income tax collector once came into my office to question my return. So I said to my son, Mossbank, go to the vault and get me the figures. Foolish boy.
Why, Digger?
He went to the wrong vault. Just what did your Junior do?
He thinks I'm a crook.
Why, that's preposterous.
Not only Junior, all his friends saying I was a jailbird. And my own son didn't even stick up for me. Oh, you can't depend on anybody. Not your son, not your friends. Except you, Digger, old pal. You'll never throw dirt in my face.
Riley, you can't depend on anybody. Junior should have stood by you. It's his filial duty to be loyal.
Yeah. Digger, I got an idea. I'm going to teach that kid of mine. I'm going to tell him I did go to reform school. And then I'll say, what are you going to do about it? Leave home? Stop taking money from me? It'll be kind of a loyalty test.
Oh, there's a lot of that going on. Last week, an FBI agent came to me, trying to locate a certain customer of mine. Huh? And when I gave him the information, he got very excited.
Well, why? What did you say?
I told him the man he's looking for went underground last month. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Junior, is that you?
Hello, Mom.
Now, come here, young man. What's this nonsense about your father going to reform school?
Well, didn't he?
He did not.
Mom, I'm old enough to know the truth. Why try to hide it from me?
Well, this is the most ridiculous... I never heard of such a thing. Now, look here, Junior. I've known your father for over 20 years, and I'm telling you he never went to reform school.
Well, maybe he kept it a secret from you, too. Mom, I've got the proof.
What proof? What are you talking about?
Well, you know that uniform.
Hi,
well,
the wings of an angel. Peg, where's... Oh, there you are, Junior.
Riley, you've got to straighten this boy out right now.
That's just what I intend to do. Junior, I've got news for you.
I did go to reform school.
Riley, what on
earth? It's no use keeping it from him any longer. I went to reform school, all right. Now, what are you going to do about it?
That's all I wanted to know, Pop. I just wanted you to level with me. I'll be right back.
Riley, have you gone crazy?
Hey, Bert, come over here.
Junior, come back here.
Wait a minute, Peg.
Yeah, what do you want, Junior?
Did you call my father a jailbird?
Sure, what about it?
This is what about it.
Ow, my eye, my eye.
And next time you make a crack about my father, you'll get double.
Peg, he stood up for me. Did you see the way he poked that Bert? He just wanted me to trust him. It ain't every son who'd go to bat for a father who's an ex-convict. Oh, this is the happiest day of my life.
But, Riley, you're not an ex-convict.
No? Oh, yeah, yeah. Ain't it a pity?
But now Junior thinks
I was just testing him. I'll straighten him out.
Pop.
Oh, Junior, you stuck up for your old man. I'm proud of you, son.
Well, I just wanted you to be on a level with me, Pop. I don't care what you were once. I think you're okay.
That's the way I like to hear you talk, son. But now, brace yourself for a shock. I got some disappointing news for you. I never went to reform school.
Oh, Pop, I thought you were going to trust me.
No, honest, Junior, I was never in a reform school.
Oh, cut it out, Pop.
But, Junior, believe me,
don't
I
never... Don't worry, Pop, I can take it.
Now, Junior...
I'm not a kid anymore.
But, Junior, it was just a test. I wanted you to...
Oh, forget it, Pop.
But, Junior, I'm... All right. Have it your way. I was in reform school. I was the worst juvenile delinquent they ever saw. I was absolutely incorrigible. I committed every crime in the book, all the way from larceny to arsony. I went up the river so many times they called me Salmon Riley. Ask your mother. She was my mom. Now I hope you're satisfied.
The Rileys will be back in just a moment. First place with all the family. That's Prel, Procter & Gamble's Radiant Cream Shampoo in the handy tube. Mrs. Mildred Runge of Chicago, Illinois, writes,
in my family, a shampoo has to really be good to please everyone. And Prel has won that honor. Yes, for real cleanliness, radiance, and manageable hair, we're all cheering for Prel.
And Prel will be a favorite with you, too, once you see how quickly Prel removes unsightly dandruff, leaves hair shining with radiance. Ask for...
P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo. Leaves hair radiant, gleaming bright. Not a bit of dandruff is in sight. Comes in a tube, handy too. P-R-E-L-L, Prel Shampoo.
But, Pop,
look,
the uniform...
Junior, I'll explain it all over again. That's not my uniform. I never had a uniform. I just said so to get you to wear it. I bought it in Sullivan's Hock Shop. Look, here's the bill.
Oh, well, then you never really went to reform school.
Of course not.
Ah, oh, gee.
Well, I'm glad we got that straightened out. What a couple of days I had.
And it serves you right. I hope this teaches you a lesson not to make up crazy stories, telling him you have a record.
Well, to be perfectly honest about it, the story wasn't all crazy. In 1930, I was sentenced for a life term.
What?
Well, don't you remember, Dublin? That's the year we got married.
Procter & Gamble invite you to join us again next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. The script is by Reuben Shipp and Alan Lipscott. Mrs. Riley is Paula Winslow. Digger O'Dell is John Brown. The Life of Riley is produced by Irving Brecker. And remember, for radiantly clean, lovely hair, get the shampoo in the tube. P-R-E-L-L. Prel Shampoo. Again next week when Prell brings you The Life of Riley. And now stay tuned for Truth or Consequences. Good night.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Go, Joe, go.
And just enough time to say I'm Greg Van Beek. Thank you for listening and hope you'll join me again next week for more music and memories of the greatest generation. Until then, so long for now.